everybody. I am your purple striped tiger ox, Ocean. Next to me is our spotted cheetah, Yan.
Hello.
Beside her, we've got our awesome spider full voice.
Yay.
I'll introduce myself. I'm Roland.
And Roland is here as well. Who let you back in the house?
You're too. Sorry.
I came in through the window. You left it open about a centimeter.
I'll blame the other ferret in here.
Sorry. Actually, I drove my motorcycle through the patio door. I hope you don't mind.
Well, that's up to you and the landlord to discuss.
No, it's not. I'm not on the lease.
Anyways, thanks for coming back another week, guys.
Welcome to this episode of Fangs and Fonts, where we are looking at the topic of reviewing and introducing 17% more spider, Isaiah Jacobs.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, finally.
You may know him because he is the host and creator of Fur Review.
You could say he's been rocking the boat a little bit in the furry fandom as of late.
Implying I've actually been doing anything.
Yeah, come on, where's that next review?
It's on its way.
When will you be reviewing your next gold standard book?
Gold.
I'm sorry.
The next book I'm actually reviewing, I'm working on, is the official My Little Pony guidebook.
Okay, I actually want to see that.
So are you actually going to review a good book anytime soon?
Perhaps you would like to try Punk Anthology after its release.
No.
Abandoned Places will probably be out first.
I'm still working on the review for the guidebook, and I'm actually currently reading Hot Dish.
Thanks for coming on the show. We're happy to
have
you.
Oh, yeah. It's great to be here.
It's great to have an expert on reviewing.
Expert. Okay, sure.
Well, out of everyone here, I think Isaiah's got the most for reviewing. And
That is true.
Now that I'm done ribbing Isaiah, I think we can get on to some actual discussion.
Yes.
And then I've got my Goodreads reviews, and Yan's done a couple of reviews.
And I will tell you if your story sucks or not. And you
I just judge people indefinitely.
High five! Super critical.
No, really, if you want a good review of your book for someone to take it apart and find all the things that are wrong with it, Ocean's one of your people for that one.
I am the destroyer of books.
I get to leave witty sarcastic comments on your submission in the form of notes.
Oh.
I'm being an asshole in the form of calling it constructive criticism. But really, I'm just being
I feel like the Russell Peters of writing. Even just saying that makes me feel so dirty. I fucking hate Russell Peters.
Russell Peters.
Okay, but anyways, back on our technology episode, we had talked about reviewing online, and some people actually were interested in hearing this one, and it's a topic that we wanted to talk about. So we're going to talk about why reviewing is important and what it helps us for a fandom and in the community. Anyone want to start?
I'll start. I've brought it up before that I think reviewing is important just because it gives you a good feedback on what you're looking for reading. It helps create a good industry when you're aware of what you want to buy. Like I said before, if I'm looking at a series that I've liked on Goodreads and I note that someone has given it a rating that I find similar and given it an actual written review with a few points that I would agree with, usually I'll follow them on Goodreads, and then I'll find other items that they find of interest, and, you know, word-of-mouth advertising, as it were, and I have a new series to read.
Reviewing is also a very good way of training yourself to look at things critically, not just other people's works, but your own. So as you're writing, if you're also reading other people's works, going, this is what works, this is what doesn't, this is what I would change, and you keep evaluating other people's works, it gives you something to draw back on when you're writing your own works.
I find that reviewing is just as important as writing literature on its own, because you can write as much as you want. You can write what you think to be the greatest stories in your mind. They could be creative, but you won't really be able to improve yourself without getting that necessary feedback, and I think that the internet has a great way of making that more available to everyone. And it's just that, like, pretty much wherever you go, whether it be fanfiction.net, or just any blog where people post their stories, people will often post their comments or just simple reviews, like, oh, I like this, I didn't really like that, or sometimes they'll post things that you spelled wrong or improper punctuation. And it just small things like that that is very important to developing writers to help them get better at their craft.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you started up for a review? Like, what caused you to start that up?
I did for review because I was inspired by the likes of the Nostalgia Critic, and the way that he did reviews of movies, and when I looked to the furry fandom, I didn't really see a centralized place for people to do reviews of furry literature. So I decided to take it upon myself to do reviews, if you will.
Well, that's one of the things that's being mentioned, especially during some of the Twitter conversations, is that while we have a whole bunch of writers in the fandom, some published, very many of them not, there's very few people in the entire fandom that actually review. And like, I can think of two, maybe three, and that's it. And only that, it's not just reviewing, but it's reviewing well. And
more than just saying, like, I like the book. Yeah. Actually, like, going into depth.
Yes.
Which is something that's on our list. Mm-hmm. But that's the thing, is I think there's you, there's Quills and Claws and Quills, or...
Yeah, they just started up, right?
Yeah.
Which just started. The guest of honor who's at RF this year is being in the fandom. He's a writer slash primarily reviewer. Which is good. He works with Claws and Quills, or Quills and Claws.
Okay. Claws and Quills.
Thank you. So, I mean, it's something that we definitely need in the fandom, especially for writers like ourselves, because whereas in a lot of the artists are self-regulating with the way that their works go, in the furry writers groups, because we have less people that comment, having a good reviewer is necessary. And especially with the works that actually see publication, it's one of the ways to kind of take all the quality of writing and take it to the next level, and get it out of that stereotype that everyone has of furry literature as, oh, it's just fanfic, oh, it's just this crap writing, when really it's not. And having good reviewers kind of helps make that people aware that this isn't something that's just thrown together. It's actually something that people have put a lot of work and effort into, or in some cases not.
And to continue on that thought, review, and as you said, it's furry literature has sort of a bad reputation to non-furry groups, and reviewing is important not only to writers but to other people, because especially if you post it online, people can see a well-constructed review, they can see your opinions of it and see why it was a good story or why it was a bad story and why you should devote your time to reading it at all.
So I guess on that point, we should make a distinction. Why, if you're going to review a book, you should actually come with a good constructive review rather than just giving it a star rating. Just because, and we can talk about this, just why the benefits of one over the other and go from there.
Well, I've actually noted about that. When you said that you have to have a kind of an idea of what you're going to review when you go into the review, I've noted that as you read books that you have an intent on reviewing, you actually keep a notepad with you, and when you come across something of notable worth, negative or positive, you write it down. Mm-hmm. Which obviously makes your reviews a lot more concise and full.
Isaiah, your comment about the furry literature having a bad rap outside of the fandom, it has a bad enough rep inside the fandom.
And true.
I feel that people should actually take more time into being constructive, critical.
Edit and have input. And with our small community, I don't see why you would be afraid to review your friends if you're already starting, if, like, hopefully we are, you're helping, you're editing, you're beta reading for them already. You're already giving them feedback.
Feedback is never a bad thing.
No.
Well, like, I wanted to draw back to this point as well, that your reviews should be constructive enough and professional enough that regardless of who you're reviewing, it shouldn't matter who they are. It could be your mother, your, you know, some sort of family member. It could be your best friend, or it could be that guy that incessantly bugs you on Twitter. The thing is that your review should be professional, concise, and constructive enough that it doesn't matter who you're reviewing, that they should be able to take away the same information as if it was some stranger on the internet reviewing you.
So, you guys have covered why people don't review. What do you suggest what people should do to overcome this?
Do it.
Well, okay, what is
Actually, he's got a point.
What are the issues that we've covered? They've got, I don't want to review because my friends...
Some people are self-conscious. Maybe they don't feel qualified.
I think one we didn't bring up was a lot of people say they don't have time.
Yeah.
Same
excuse with reading. Which I call bullshit on, because, like, it takes 2 seconds to write a paragraph as to whether or not...
Depending,
like,
on who you're talking to.
I know. But just don't sit there and just write, you know, 3 stars and leave it. Because that leaves the author sitting there going, well, why did I not get 5 stars? Why didn't I get 4 stars?
Or why didn't I get 1 star?
Also, not the author, but the other people reading the reviews trying to figure out if it's good. You're like, well 3 stars, why did they do that?
It's a lot like people, you know, saying, oh, I'll work out next week. Things like that. The time spent making excuses would be better used just fucking doing it.
Yeah, you've already spent, like, an hour to however long depending on the story,
to
read it.
I don't have time to review video or to review books, and then you spend the next 3 hours playing Call of Duty. I mean, of course,
or
you
looking
have
at
time.
Cat videos.
Say you went from one story and immediately started the next. Like, the 20 minutes that you could just write down your thoughts about that isn't that bad.
Well, let's put it this way: an example that I've come across, because I do all my reviewing on Goodreads, so I finish a book, I go onto the website, and I decide, after I do my review, to look at the reviews. And you've got 2 stars and a couple paragraphs. 3 stars, couple paragraphs. 1 star, couple paragraphs. And then as you scroll down, you've got 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars, 4 stars, 5 stars, but no reason why. Who are you going to believe more? The people that took 1 second to give that star rating, or the actual group of people who are giving it a lower rating and actually explaining why it's a lower rating?
Some of the best reviews that I've seen have always been like 3 out of 5 stars, because they are the ones that give the descriptions.
Or a 4 or a 2. Yeah. Because they're immediately not going to the 1 or the 5. And it's the same with the technological age we live in, is that everyone's looking for reviews. And it's so easy to just look, well, they have a bajillion 5 stars. But I know myself personally, I'll be like, what if some of the other people said?
I've never given anyone like 5 or 1 unless it's fucking blown me away one way or the other.
One of the things that came up in our first episode, second episode, was that basically as the digital age continues, more and more stuff are getting self-pubbed. How do you weed out the good from the bad? This is how you do it. You write reviews. Like everything, every recipe, every movie, every TV show, everything that's online. Facebook has it now. People do it on Twitter. Everything's interlinked. Reviews are what help people purchase the stuff that's right for them. And actually taking the time out to write a review, that's why Amazon's got that. Was this review helpful to you? And there's reviews that I've posted on Amazon that people have actually purchased the book simply because of my review, and it keeps track of that.
That would be a good system for like review sites. Like, say if you had something like FA, let's distend our disbelief here and say that FA has an actual constructive comment. And if we had, I hate drawing this analogy, but like a Facebook-like status where you can like or dislike that review, that provides...
I think it, like, Metacritic has, is this review helpful? And it'll be like 3 out of 50 people say yes.
And then that would sort of eliminate the need to reiterate a point that a review has already made while saying that, yes, this is what I agree with.
Go ahead.
That's a good point, because you know how we were saying how people don't want to review because, well, what I have to say, the other person said 16 times, if you do the, was this review helpful? Well, okay, you have one review, but 19 people have said that was helpful. That's 20 more opinions that are the same.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this one guy wrote this review, but 120 people liked it. Maybe there's something here.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that combats against the people that say, my review won't matter. My review, nobody will read my review. No, people will read your review. Seriously, put it up there.
I guarantee you the author's read your review.
Yeah, and the author themselves are... We're stupid, critical people. Come on. We're also incredibly vain. Don't lie to yourself.
And egotistical.
Exactly.
And insecure.
We're better than you.
And pretentious.
Yeah.
One of the things that we brought up is another reason that people won't review is they don't think that their point of view will matter.
That's what I just said.
Oh, yeah. Wow, someone's paying... I'm paying attention, I'm pretty!
Finish your drink.
How much money do I have to give you for the attention?
Well, and that's actually, on that note, there was a scam going on Amazon a while ago where there are companies out there that you can pay a certain amount of money to and they will give your book a 5-star rating and they will go through it. And the thing is much like the how many ever people found this useful, those reviews don't last because it's clear that the people have not read your book and they haven't done anything. And with Amazon, the more that people like a certain review, the more they are the top reviews that are shown, and other ones that don't have as many, was this useful, end up being lowered down to the, if you want to see more help feedback, click here area. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, review, it does actually make a difference. If you don't have time, we're just calling bullshit on you. And, you know, if you're worried about what your thing, what your comments are actually going to do to the people that read them, tough shit.
What if you just...
Honestly, either if they can't handle the criticism you're going to give them, A, maybe you're just bad at doing that, at reviewing, but you should still work on it because you're also improving yourself as a writer. And B, they should also be able to take criticism.
Well, in the worst case scenario, make up a pseudonym for reviewing.
Yeah, be the master reviewer. Be Mr. X.
Yeah, yeah. Be Mr. X or be another stupid anon. Like, you want to review something, you want to give your feedback, you don't want to damage your reputation. Well, you know, you don't have to put your name on there. I mean,
but
yeah,
it,
sure.
It does knock down the credibility a little bit,
it
and
does,
at the same time.
It's still feedback.
Yeah, and one other point
and
that
again,
I wanted to bring up.
And again, that's what we're trying to say. Feedback is important. It doesn't matter who it's from. Feedback is important.
And you have to make sure it's constructive.
Well, yeah,
otherwise,
don't...
you're getting those people that are one star, this is bad.
Okay,
and
well,
then,
that's
and then
the
you
segue
just...
right there.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, well, we've already established my opinion of be professional and don't be a troll.
I completely... That entire, like, I know where the segue you were going completely wiped my mind.
But yeah.
If you look at my reviews, there are people who I have as friends... who I have reviewed their books, I have given them 2 to 3 stars and explained why. And this again goes back to how you do it is important, which is the segue you were doing. Well, no, it's more than that.
Yeah.
So then what is important when you're reviewing? Because we're already said you should review.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
Isaiah, you want to kick us off?
I think the number one most important thing when it comes to reviewing, the first thing that should be taken care of, is that you should disregard all emotions. A review is supposed to be an analytical breakdown, a constructive breakdown of the story, and emotions would just get in the way. It would clog it, and everything gets biased. Now,
Can I pause you for 1 second?
Go ahead.
Can you explain more about what you mean by emotions? Because obviously if the story's done its job, it should be giving you the correct emotions, but...
This is correct, and you are completely
I should feel very happy for that couple, or horrified, or angry at this bad guy or something.
Right, and you are completely free to feel whatever you want during the story, whether it be terror at an appropriate part, or just the story makes you so mad. But... when it comes to reviewing, those emotions shouldn't matter. It should be an evaluation of the sum of all the parts of the book, of the punctuation, the style, the overall theme of the story. It should all be... you should evaluate how all of those come together and if they create a successful impact. And I should know this because I speak from experience. I have done emotion-fueled reviews in the past, and they have not worked. I wrote them. I knew the message I wanted to get across, but my emotions clouded all of the facts that I wanted to critique.
So you're making sure that it's not a personal review.
Exactly.
Isn't that along the lines of writing an angry letter to somebody when you have something to say, saving it, and then rewriting it with a more calm head later?
That's exactly the point. Yes. Thank you, Yan.
take that breath, walk away, come back, try it again.
And that relates back to the whole professionalism in the fandom, and these are your friends, your peers, and your publishers, is that if you make it personal and you make it emotion-filled, you will not be succeeding. You will actually be succeeding at what you're afraid is going to happen. You will be pissing them off, and it will come across as a personal attack rather than, this is my this is my review of your story. These are what I feel, but this is a constructive way of doing it so that you understand what I'm getting at without me muddling it with all these, exclamation marks, you this and whatnot.
And I think that's going back, like, some people don't want to review their friends because they feel that it's going to feel personal, but like, really, if it's done right, it shouldn't be personal.
Correct.
And you should be giving constructive criticism if you are, like, if you didn't love it.
Right.
It's like that point you have, like, don't use words like hate.
Yeah, don't use words. I hated this, right? Right, Isaiah?
Exactly, yeah.
Don't say, I hate this thing. Say, I found this to be disagreeable because.
Yeah, or I felt this way because. Go ahead.
And that's exactly it. The difference between a critique and a review is a critique is telling the author what you didn't like. A review, okay. That would be a critique. Constructive critique would be telling them how to improve it or how to change it. And there is a very big difference between the two, and you have to recognize when to cross that line of when you should give constructive feedback on how to improve.
See, and I ran into that myself personally once because I reviewed a story that I actually did not enjoy simply because of the subject of it. I have a very difficult time with books that involve outright infanticide. And this one had a lot of it, and I stated outright in my review, the story was well written, I did not like it because my personal views on this subject are incredibly negative. And I would honestly, if I had read a review beforehand about that story that had told me this had infanticide in it, I would have never, ever picked it up.
Yeah, that is a bit of a personal thing, but you addressed it correctly.
Yeah, but at least I hoped I did.
Should you be giving... Like, and you're, when you're reviewing, like you said, so you're more critiquing, but do you necessarily always have to give constructive, like, almost telling the author how they should do it?
I think that when it is printed, that's when you don't need to provide constructive criticism, because it's already gone through an editorial process, a heavy editorial process. When it's something on the web and it's from some developing author, then I think that is when it's an appropriate time to give constructive criticism.
Now, I'm going to point out here, because we keep using this term and there might be some people who aren't familiar with it, constructive criticism is basically the criticism sandwich, is the sandwich of you give a good point, and then you give a negative point, and then you give a good point again.
That's the compliment sandwich. That's the compliment sandwich. That's not constructive criticism.
Well, no.
I don't know if I agree with that, but...
But constructive criticism is because you're basically listing both the good and the bad, but you're taking all the negatives and you're putting it between the parts that are good.
You don't necessarily have to sandwich it.
I disagree with you as well. Constructive criticism does not need to be a sandwich of compliments versus... Because address the points that you want to address. That is it. Do it in a fashion that tells the author what they've done wrong, what they can do to fix it, mm-hmm. and your overall thoughts on the overall story. But I don't think it requires coddling the author.
No, I just
for the sake of not hurting their feelings. Like if you
it's already a bad
if you are going to get offended by constructive criticism, then you are going to get offended.
See, and I'm guilty of that. I feel obligated to put in a positive review if I've given a negative.
That might be your way of reviewing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's the way.
Like I said, I'm guilty.
Well, constructive criticism is defined as having. Usually involving both positive and negative comments in a friendly manner.
It's addressing both sides, but I don't.
Well, the sandwich part is just how I.
I don't
do
see it
myself.
The way you described it as the thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, constructive criticism should have. Well, at least I'm hoping you should be able to find like these are the good things that you had. These are the things you need to work on. Like if the story is completely bad and you don't know where to start, then you can't really say much. But at the very least, you can go. You know, I notice you tried. There you go.
Also, Isaiah, I disagree with you. Printed works need constructive criticism as well, because I can think of just a few examples that went to print that need editing. There are revisions. Oh. Like, books do become revised or changed over time. I mean, like, the most obvious examples would be things like encyclopedias, but books are not always published perfectly.
Your definition of the tulip is completely wrong. This is why. No. Yeah. Sorry.
But, like, there are a few books that I've seen that desperately need to be reprinted because their editing process was not efficient enough. Like, it wasn't adequate enough to be published properly. Sometimes readers need to actually go through the book, review it, let the authors and the publishers know that this needs to be redone.
That is a very fair point, and I am not going to protest you on that. I completely see where you're coming from. But Tarl, there is another point that I'm surprised that you haven't brought up yet.
That could be why he's been waving his arms around.
Okay, on the whole print things that where they haven't been properly edited and constructive, I am part of an anthology called New Tales of the Old Ones by Nightwatch Press. It has been 2 years in the making. It switched ownership, and it went to print, saw it published, and it had exactly 3 reviews on it. One was a 5-star review where the person was like, "This was great." The other 2 were 1-star reviews where they flat out stated this was like high school writing, the editing was terrible, everything was really badly done on it, and the company actually...
Do you know if the 5-star review is one of the people that wrote in the book?
It wasn't. I checked.
Okay, okay.
But anyway...
I just wanted to double check.
What happened is the company, Nightwatch Press, yanked it from print and from sales and actually said... Apparently, when we got this, we got it saying that it was fully edited. Apparently, that wasn't the case. Case in point, at one point, there was ITS'.
Oh.
Is one of the first errors in the anthology. But anyway, yanked. They're now re-editing everything. They've given it back to the authors. We've all looked at it. We've resubmitted works. They're editing it, and they're basically running it through a standard editing process rather than their initial process, which was literally, you hand in your story, it got accepted, the editor would edit it, and it went straight to print, which unfortunately means, as an author, you're going into it blind, not knowing what they did with your story. In my case, the editor actually made it worse, and actually had added errors to my story, which was the part that frustrated me the most. And I was glad that they actually took a more professional view on it. But without honest reviews, this never would have happened. And it also shows that, you know, some stuff does go to print that really has not seen any at all work.
The honest reviews are why that did happen. Because maybe the authors weren't sent to it, but unfortunately reviews can't happen of your book until after it's been published, so... You've kind of dug your grave already.
Well, especially when they do it in the whole, we're going to edit it, you can't see it method.
That's, horrible. Yeah. But that's a show for editing.
To continue on this topic of honesty, as has been brought up quite a few times, the thought of critiquing your friends is very off-putting. But there comes a time where you do want to give them feedback, but you're very scared because you might give them something, the wrong critique, and that might upset them, and you're afraid of ruining your friendship. But if you provide it in an honest and considerate manner, and sometimes in a positive, negative, positive sandwich, then your friends will be more likely to take your critique to heart.
The Subway of Reviews.
The voice is Subway of Reviews. I did do a blog post on this about half a year ago to a year ago, and it was fueled by a review of a book that I had read where the person gives us this glowing review. It was a 5-star review, and then at the very end they say, and it was a furry fiction piece, it's being advertised on FA, and it says at the very end, he's like, there was some problems with grammar and spelling which were to be expected in this book. It doesn't, you know, I was debating whether or not I should mention this, but I decided to mention it because, you know, it was just kind of a minor problem, but I don't think it ruins the book. And I've also read another review of another book where the person said, yes, this is chock full of grammar and spelling and errors like that, but they shouldn't matter unless you're a grammar Nazi. The thing I don't get is, these are legitimate issues when something is published.
Not just furry.
Not just furry. But in this case, it was furry. And comments like that aren't helping. If an editor or a writer is not being held responsible for putting out a work that has not seen the proper amount of editing, then they'll continue to do it and will never actually increase the quality of work that the furry fandom is producing. It'll never be taken seriously because you're going to get those people who pick up a furry book for the first time, read through it and go, holy crap, that was shit, because all the words are everywhere and they're using the wrong tense and they're
or they pick up a furry novel and expect it to be full of shit like that.
And then they do.
Which is awful.
Oh, they're just coming in biased, you mean?
Yeah.
Already?
Well, because you see reviews like
because
that.
Because nobody takes the literature seriously.
Well, it's like it was stated on the review, as to be expected, this was full of. Well, that in itself is suicide for the writer.
And the third point I want to make is a point that I'm surprised that you haven't brought up, Tarl, because you have brought this up quite a few times in the past, and that is, no matter how much you dislike a story or how much you perceive a story to be bad, that's quotes bad, there should always be at least one positive thing you should find in a piece of literature. Isn't that right?
It's very true. And I have written, like, I have given 1-star reviews where I have struggled to figure out something positive to say. And I think there's only one or two that I never actually had anything positive to say. And the author actually ended up thanking me because of it. I had one author go back and rewrite his entire story and dedicate it to me because I gave him a 1-star review and basically said, this is what's wrong with it. I want to say something positive to it. Unfortunately, I can't. That's my fault. That's not his fault. That's my fault that I couldn't find one positive thing about it.
Are you sure?
No, I think Roland's right on this one.
I think that's his fault.
Yeah, if you can't find something positive to view when it's your goal, that's not your
that's
fault.
True.
That's like saying, I wanted to like the movie, but I found it shit.
I wanted to like the movie, but it was just a potato in an oven for 3 hours. Like,
I wanted to like the
sex,
but...
It was Hypnotoad. It was amazing.
And then you also have your review where you gave them a bad review and you became their nemesis.
Oh, God,
oh,
that was funny.
Yes, also, I'll tell this story. There was a young editor. I
can't remember if you told it already on one of the other podcasts.
16, yeah, I might have. But 16 years old, he did a monthly series of anthologies, and they were different themed. I picked up a Lovecraft-themed collection, and I picked up a steampunk collection. And there was one or two good stories, but the editing was atrocious. And I ended up giving him a low review for it. And I said, you know, that it also didn't help that he had an ego about it. And someone had previously stated that he was an excellent editor when he wasn't. And basically, I gave him these two reviews. They were 2 stars and 1 star. And the person came back and said, "Oh, thank you for reading my book and giving critiques about it. You're my nemesis." And it's like, no, I'm not your nemesis. I'm just giving you an honest opinion. I'm giving an opinion for others to read and review these books. No one else has reviewed it. People are going into these not knowing that they're actually not that good.
Clearly, and you didn't sandwich enough compliments in
there. That yes. Was, you know, at 16 years old, you obviously, you know, puberty demands you have a nemesis.
Well, as Jan was typing out here on my thing to remind me, I had a writer that I was reviewing a couple of her pieces, a vampire one, a horror one, and it was just chock full of errors. And I made a statement that this felt like this wasn't edited. And they really would benefit from editing. And she came back and she's like, "Oh, wow, I really like your reviews. You seem to, you know, you're really good at this. You should totally and utterly help me out." And I'm like, "No, I'm not." And then she admitted that her stuff went to sale on Smashwords without any editing at all, which is hence why they were so chock full of errors. And I seriously thought she was 15, 16 years old from the way that she wrote. And then I actually went and looked at her author page. She's in her 80s.
Whoa.
Like, it blew me away to find out that, what's-her-face Twilight author?
Stephanie Meyer.
Yeah, Stephanie Meyer. That she was, like, in her mid-40s. Like...
Why?
Well, that would explain the cougar train of all these older women jumping on the whole, "I'm gonna touch this 20-year-old boy" creepiness that I saw at the Comic Expo.
Yeah, like, it fucking, I thought she was, like, 18.
Well, no, really, if you look at how they behave, it's if it was role reversal, if there were, you know, 40-year-old men clamoring in line to get a hug with some teenage, you know, early 20s chick from a movie.
She is 39.
It would be unbelievably creepy.
But back on the track, one thing a review, I don't know if this was mentioned, one thing a review is not, is a summary of the book. Even if your review is coming after the summary, you don't need to summarize the book. That's what the back of the book is for.
I think I can see the jizz stain in Isaiah's
pants. Go, Isaiah!
Go, Isaiah!
"I just came in my pants. Thank you, Taro." But no, you have no idea how strongly I feel about this, and I think I may take control of the podcast at this point because I have a lot to say on this point. I'm not going to throw out any names, but that is something that is especially kind of an issue for any people that call themselves reviewers in the furry fandom, and they say they write reviews, but what they really are summaries. A summary is pretty much a vague outline of the series of events in a story. That's it. That's pretty much the story in brief. We don't want the story in brief. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to know if you thought it was good or if it was worth watching.
It blows me away that people think that a summary is a review.
I'm surprised that people think that. Like, I've never seen that, but I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I haven't personally seen it, but I mean, for the people that think that, you know, rewriting what's on the back of the book is the same as a review,
that's like someone thinking McDonald's is gourmet food.
Well, there are people out there with that mentality, I'm sure.
It'd be like, "I'm here to review my McDonald's order. I have a cheeseburger, small fries, and a Diet Coke. Have a nice day."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's not a review. It's...
Tell me what kind of car you have. It's blue.
You eating a fat piece of meat.
So, I believe the other thing that... Summaries are not a review. Also, do not 5-star your own story.
Oh.
So, I haven't heard this yet. So, when did this actually happen?
Well, I'll go off on my experience just because I follow a lot of authors, and people like, say, Selena Kitt will publish a story and literally moments after it's 5-starred by herself. And it's just so she can get a jump. And in cases of the anthology that I'm in, 50 Shades of Decay, one of the first things that happened when they put it up on Goodreads is 5 of the authors that are in the anthology, albeit that's 5 out of 50, so that's not bad, five-starred it.
Did they say anything about it? Or just
no, they just five-starred it.
So, like, I just don't get that.
How does
like,
that make you feel as one of the... Well, both of you are authors in that anthology.
Yeah.
I think it's honest to God cheap. Okay, one, there's no way you could have read it already. Two, that's lying. That's basically self-plagiarism?
Not plagiarism, no. Well, but self-promoting.
It's self-promoting, and it's lying. It's basically saying... It's like using the rating system, which a lot of us who read and actually depend on the rating system for honesty, you're freaking lying to me. I don't like it one bit, even if it is my book that got five-starred.
If you depend on the star rating system, you are going to have a bad time.
Oh, okay, not the star system, but the rating reviews. Yeah. You know, it is
possible sometimes for people to be able to read the book before it's been published, because I received a manuscript of... the Trick or Treats.
But you're not going to five-star it. And that's... It's, I don't know,
without,
it's just...
Like, not unless it's deserving of a five-star, obviously.
I still find it pretentious and lying.
I don't see the point of it, because these people always get found out for being...
So, is there a reasonable way that you... Like, in that anthology, is there a reasonable way that you can actually review the book or give it a rating?
There was one writer in an anthology that I was a part of, who, when he reviewed the book, flat out said, I am a writer in this anthology. My story is this. I will be reviewing this book without reviewing my story. So he basically took his stuff out and then reviewed. And I think he gave it 3 or 4 stars. So he was honest. He didn't review his own work. And basically just did it like he would any normal book. Now, that would be a bit different if it was his novel, because the fact of the matter is you cannot give an honest opinion of your own work. And, you know, every author loves the piece that they end up putting in print. That's a given, because you wouldn't write something you didn't enjoy. Otherwise, you wouldn't be writing it.
Or publishing it.
Or publishing it. Or going through the entire process of editing it, editing it, editing it, editing it. Over and over and over again, if you did not at some level enjoy your work. So we hope.
Well, you're hopefully writing something that you also would enjoy reading.
Right.
Otherwise, are you writing correctly? Are you doing it for the right purposes, etc.?
And then you're doing it for money or whatever.
If you are writing...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, if you're writing for money, you're in the wrong profession.
Yeah.
There's the oil sands up near Grand Prairie.
Or I'm draw sure a furry dick.
Plenty of work there.
Mm. Yeah, or draw furry dicks. But that's the thing, is every writer who produces a work to its finished point loves it.
That's the point.
That's the point. Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, what the heck are you doing?
Otherwise, why didn't you make it into something you love?
But giving it a 5-star review is pointless. You're messing with the system, and it basically comes across as you're
dickish.
You're dickish. And you're desperate. Pretentious.
Yeah.
And desperate actually is a good one.
Desperate is a really good one.
Just because, why? Why not just rely on your readers to comment
and
on it? And to
by the way, you should all listen to Fangs and Fonts because it's fantastic.
Well, nobody's going to believe you either, because you're reviewing your own book. You're giving it 5 stars with no explanation. What incentive or reason do people have to listen to you?
Isaiah?
And also, Fangs and Fonts is the best goddamn writing podcast out there.
Is there another one?
I think we're the only writing podcast, so this is probably true.
There are podcasts with authors on it that are of the furry genre.
Oh, like Fangs and Fonts.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good.
I've heard of that one.
10 out of 10 would watch again.
10 out of 5 would watch again.
But I mean, and yes, as we said, it basically, like, you're tooting your own horn and no one likes that.
It completely invalidates your reputation if you have to review your own work.
Oh, good point.
If I wrote a book and published it and people looked and there was 4 and 5-star reviews, so that I had a 4.5 review, and they scrolled through it, they enjoy it. As soon as they see that I was the first person to review it and I gave myself 5 stars... there's a lot of people who would just chuck the book or not read it or buy it or whatever, because the fact of the matter is, as soon as they see that I reviewed it, even if there are all those other top reviews, they're going to look at it and be like, wow, look at that. They decided to promote their own work.
You know, it's almost as bad as putting a hybrid in your story.
As the
we're going to do that. We're still
hybrids.
I'm going to put a hybrid in my story and review my own story.
There we go. And then publish it myself.
I don't want to go into the list of things that we want to do wrong on it, but if you're an author and you want to actually say something about your book or give it a semi-review, put it on your blog. Let people read it there. Let people read your opinions, how you felt about it there. Don't put it on the actual review site.
Your thoughts on your own story are not a review. It is
biased.
Your feelings on the process of writing what that story. Did I say?
He said biased.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's your own work. And, I mean, I like to think that I'm fairly objective about looking at my own work because I have to be. Mm-hmm. I can't just write something and say, this is God's miracle to the world and throw it out to be published.
I know I can be super critical with other people's stories, but I know with my own, I'm just like, I don't know if this is good or not. Please rip it to shreds for me.
What reason do I have to say that, you know, I'm clearly the best, so therefore I am the authority on reviewing my own work?
Putting 5 stars on your own online review is like sitting in the library or in the bookstore with the guitar saying, this book changed my life, it'll change yours.
Oh, I thought of a more pervy example.
It's like going around
saying I've got 9 inches.
I was actually going to make a valid comment.
Okay. We can cut that.
Your valid comment has no place here.
Yeah. What do you think this is, a respectable podcast?
In a number of podcasts, people have pointed out that you need to give your work for beta reading to other people other than get reviews from people other than your mom. Because your mom is biased.
Or your best friend.
There's one way you can go one worse than that. And that's if you do your own work.
Like, and it's incredibly important to have confidence in your writing. So not to say that, you know, you shouldn't think highly of your own writing. Because if you don't respect your own work, then what the fuck are you doing it for? Is that, respect the fact that you are biased towards your own work, and that while you should hold your work highly so that you might respect it and want to improve it, do not tell other people that your writing is the best because...
Oh, well, like, people sometimes ask me if I have stuff published online that they can read. I'm like, I have some really janky stories that I wrote from Nano that are kind of up on AF, you can read them, and they read them, they're like, this is fantastic. I'm like, really? I don't know how to take that, because I'm like, this is totally unpolished work, and
yeah. And therein lies the people that aren't able to review constructively. This whole thing ties into that not everyone's constructive.
Yeah. You have to understand that where the reviews or the feedback you're getting, you have to understand where they're coming, understand why they're saying that, and take what you need from it.
I'm not sure if this podcast just got contradictory, because a moment ago, Tarl, you just said that sending your work to a best friend for review is a bad idea, yet at the same time, you do want to send them but they might be afraid of giving their honest opinion.
Isaiah, have you met Tarl? He is one of the most...
The point on that one is actually I'm Tarl's mate. We exchange our stories fairly often.
I'm glad you're gay.
I know.
Sorry.
But I use him as one of my editors. He uses me as one of his editors. But again, that comes right down to the whole basic respect thing. I respect him as a friend. I respect him as an author. I respect him as a person. I will give him my honest opinion of a book and not expect a negative feedback from him or a retaliation just because I said something that was uncomplimentary to his writing.
It's
know your audience, I guess. If your best friend caters to you all the time and kind of has no spine and has no literary background, you may not want to give them your story to edit. But if you're friends with your writing group, give them your stuff and let them tear it to pieces. Right, Ocean?
Oh, yeah, exactly. That was one of my 2 points is, one, I like our group because we will sit there and I'll be reading your story right next to you and just be like, really? Really?
What the fuck?
And then seriously?
And then you'll start acting it out and showing me how it's physically impossible.
And you're just like, shut up, just edit it.
Vine.
Well, the amount of times that I've gotten flack for one of my characters having a 7-inch cock.
We still talk about these things, and colostrum, or whatever.
Honest to God, I'll whip it out, but I mean, I'd hope that you take my word for it, that it's a somewhat realistic.
And my second point is, I hope that you're also having more than one person edit it. I know I want to push for something to be published, I want as many people who are willing to have time to, like, edit, please, here's the latest version.
There's no real reason not to send your work to your friends, assuming that they can provide you with a valid
constructive input. Criticism.
Feedback.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's the thing, is if I gave my book to a friend, like, I've had people who I consider my friends in the furry fandom give me their book to read and to review, and I turned around and did it, and then they turned around and said, well, why is this? Why? And they defended where I criticized, and it's like, you don't need to. This is just my own personal opinion. This is what I thought of the book. It's just something that you can look on and build on and get better.
This is what you asked me to do. This is what I did. Why are you whining now?
It's not whining.
Well, people are allowed to defend certain points, which is why we were getting on the fact that multiple people might need to validate someone's opinion
right.
before the author will take it as fact.
Multiple reviews. Isaiah?
So pretty much, if you're going to send your work to a friend for peer review, make sure you send it to a friend you can trust.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the consensus.
At the same time, with some of my friends, I know specifically, like Isaiah, you're fantastic with punctuation. Like, commas and that, and splices and everything. I see that as your the best thing. Out of anyone that I send it to edits, I know you're going to be the best at grabbing that.
I find a lot of my focus on perspective and story.
You're really good at that. Like, you guys send me the action scenes. So,
yeah.
You know, like, everyone still has their points, so it's you're getting more.
And I look at Tarl. I look to Tarl for judgment. That's about it.
Oh, and I'm just a filler.
Now, one of the things that I wanted to bring up is, if you're not getting reviews, and a lot of people in the furry fandom have this issue, and a lot of people who are outside the furry fandom have this issue, where they're just not getting people reviewing their books. They're not even getting star ratings.
But they're sure that people are reading their books?
Yeah.
Okay.
For example,
Does Bella Goodreads, give a download number or something?
No.
Okay, so you don't know how many people have actually checked out.
Well, it's like that's the thing, is with Goodreads, it's something that some people use, but a lot of people use Amazon. Like, Bell of the Bone Box has some reviews on Amazon, none on Goodreads. And so the thing is like, an author that I read, James Pratt, to get reviews of his books, he offered them to the first 10 people who commented on his Facebook author page. And then he sent them the free copy. I was one of the people who got it. And the only thing is, you know, read it and review. And... you know, and yeah, sure, he may have had some of the people who didn't review in there, but people like myself did, and it just ended up kind of getting those extra reviews. I had a furry writer give me a book to review because he wanted more reviews of it. So, of course, as a favor to them, I read it, I reviewed it, and then I posted it to Goodreads, I posted it to Amazon, I posted it to Indigo, I posted it to... Fur Planet, I posted it to Bad Dog, I posted it to Rabbit Valley, like, because I'm doing them a favor by doing this review. And it's just late, and I did it because later on I assume that they'll help me out in some way, but I know I did my part for the fandom and the community in the fandom just by helping to review this book.
What would we do without you?
It is a bit though of, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, which is totally reasonable.
Yeah. You kind of have to expect that in the writing world, I guess, because who else are you going to look to if it's not another professional that you can trust and help?
In such a small community, we have to depend on each other.
And we are a small community, which makes it easier for us to do this because we know each other, like we're following each other on Twitter and that.
And it's a lot easier to receive, you know, some people really don't like the reviews that they get, regardless of how critical or constructively critical it is.
But that doesn't mean you should stop giving them reviews.
But these people have a better opportunity to ask why.
Yeah.
What about this review made you say this?
Mm-hmm. Idea?
And that's also, and because it's such a small community, you also need to be very careful and considerate when doing reviews, because if you do it wrong, if you put too much emotion to it. If you step on anybody's foot while doing a review in such a small community, then you will get backlash from it. And it will cause issues.
Just be sure not to swear too much, and that if you're going to write a...
Well, please don't swear during
controversial... Yeah, please,
okay, don't.
Well, unless you are specifically trying to write a controversial review.
I'm trying to think what would actually be a use of actual swearing.
Well, like, people like to emulate Yahtzee.
Okay, Yahtzee is a one-time thing, though, honestly. Yahtzee is a shtick.
Yeah, but Yahtzee.
Yeah.
I think Russell Peters has a habit of doing stuff like that. C.K. Lewis has a habit of trying to be offensive. Like, these people...
Half those people you mentioned
people
are
do it
comics,
quite well.
Not reviewers.
Yeah.
But some of these... But being a stand-up comic is sort of like a review on real life. These people do take their everyday observations and then make fun of them. So, I mean, it's in itself its own kind of review. Where these people are offensive, but... they're also ready for the backlash that tends to come with this. I mean, you can't do that. If you're going to try to offend people, I mean, don't be surprised if it comes back and bites you in the ass. But on that note, don't try to offend people. You're trying to be constructive, and you're trying to help these people, so pissing them off isn't going to do anything.
Except get you on the block list.
Also, one of the things back when we were talking about why people don't review... there are people who won't review some people because they are famous in their popular. They're famous in the fandom. You should never be afraid to review someone who is famous in the fandom to review their work. You should not be afraid that if you did not enjoy their piece to give it a less than 5-star review. You are completely warranted to give them a 2-star review or give them a 3-star review if you did not enjoy their works. I've done it. You can too. In the end, they're just like everyone else. They're just another writer. And seriously, they've got more 5-star reviews, you know, at least your reviews up there. And there's going to be someone who's going to end up being able to relate to what you wrote and understand why you gave the lesser review that you did.
Plus, the author themselves, if they're a well-known author, has dealt with criticism in that at this point. And
you would hope.
Yeah. I would hope. If
some people still can't take criticism.
That's sad for them.
But
I'm not even taking that back. That's just sad for them.
Yeah.
But that also falls into the whole...
Yeah, like, sorry.
No, I'm just going to say that also falls into the whole, if you want to review it negatively, you can always open a second account. It's not like it's a hard thing to open another account with a different name to do your reviews.
But, like, just speaking of calling bullshit, is that if you are afraid of reviewing a popular writer, because, like, we do have the white knights of the fandom, people just cannot stand that someone would dare criticize
their beloved
someone who is so popular that they are beyond criticism. I call bullshit, because these people need criticism too. You are never above someone else's opinion. That doesn't happen. So,
I believe we all don't really like Twilight, but it hasn't stopped them from making money, so I don't see any reason why you can't review someone who's...
I honestly can't judge Twilight, I haven't read it.
I've watched parts of the first movie, and I don't think I need to watch anymore.
But reading it's different, though.
I've read most movie adaptations as a whole. They're almost never like the book.
My friends' reviews of it have been quite bad, and so I don't think I would like to read it. I've heard it's poorly written.
There you go.
Yeah, I've read the entire series. It's... no.
One thing I was going to say is something that... Just to touch on this... as an author, if you get a bad review, how you react to bad reviews is important. React professionally. There are cases out there where authors have flipped their shit on reviewers for giving a bad review of a book, and it comes back, and I saw one lady's story. She sits there and attacks the reviewer, attacks everyone who sides with him, and what ended up happening from that is they all went on to Amazon, and literally she got a whole bunch of 1-star reviews, which dragged her story down, and literally all the comments were, hey, this person freaked out about this review, don't read it. If you want to see a good review about this, go here, which was the initial review. And it got to the point where the author finally clued in that she dug her own grave, hired a professional paid for editor to go over her work, and she's going to reprint, put it up on Amazon. The thing is because of her terrible, terrible way of handling it, no matter if it's edited or anything, she's already dug herself that grave, and it's really hard to get rid of basically that kind of damage to your reputation, especially in a community like ours.
This question more directed towards Isaiah and you, as you're the two that review the most, but at what point does a story have so many bad reviews that you won't consider reading it or reviewing it, or what do you do about that? Do you still go, well, maybe I will read it? Because like I just, with our example with Twilight, most of us are just like, but...
People read Twilight because it's so infamous. And, I mean, I know that you've likely picked up a book because it has such a bad review, and you're like, what is this about?
Well, I've picked up books where, actually, the two books that I mentioned earlier, where the person was like, the grammar was bad, but you shouldn't, you know, care about that. And I picked both of them up, and albeit I paid $10 for one of them, and I'm regretting every page that I'm reading because it's so bad. But I am a sucker for punishment, and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to read it, because the fact is that through reading it, I'm learning what not to do in my own pieces and what doesn't work, and it gives me more of an experience as a writer to improve my own writing.
Personally, I value first-hand experience higher than second-hand through hearing through somebody else. I would much rather see for myself what a story is like than... I mean, I will listen to whatever somebody has to say about something, but I would rather see for myself how it is, so that way me and this other person can have a conversation about it. Now, if the presentation of the story, like the summary on the back cover or the trailer for a film, doesn't appeal to me, that is what will get me to say if I want to look at it or not.
Okay. I guess the one other thing to touch is, where is great places for people to review?
My personal favorite is Goodreads. To all the furry writers out there, I suggest you log on to Goodreads. It's a good writer community. More so than Shelftopia, but anyway, Goodreads is a great place. You can actually leave in-depth reviews. You can do really good star.
Those birds are really angry. Yeah.
They don't like what I'm saying.
I blame the squirrel.
But anyway, Goodreads is just a really good, it's a community for readers and writers, and it's very specifically done for them. And there's actually a fairly heavy furry presence there to begin with. So if you're interested in actually joining something where it is reviewing and recommendations and stuff like that, I do suggest Goodreads, which also is linked to Chapters, which helps us Canadians out, but less so the Americans. However, Amazon did just buy Goodreads, so it'll probably be linked to them as well.
Like, does it also have places like, what was Candle's latest was Pile, right?
Yeah.
If I read that right now, where would be the best place to review it?
Rabbit Valley.
Rabbit Valley, do they do, you can review them?
They do, yeah.
So there you go. And I'm sure Bad Dog
Books, and that's another place for review, is sometimes to go directly to the publisher's website and do a review on there.
Yeah.
I know Nightwatch Press has that.
And some of the main ones. Like, Amazon's also a very popular place to review books, too. And
so look to the source where you got it.
And I mean, why not all of them? Like, post it to Rabbit Valley, post it to Amazon, post it to Goodreads.
Very true.
Different people are going to see these reviews. You have no reason not to do it to all of them.
Well, once you've already written, what's it take to, you know, copy-paste?
Yeah. Copy-paste, done.
Exactly. Like, I read a really good superhero book, and I loved it. He did everything right. And I went to every site I could to review it. And it was just because the thing is it was this good, I'm going to tell everyone I can about how good it was because the author wowed me. So why the hell wouldn't I?
Okay.
Good point.
So
you got to spread that word as much as possible.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, good review. Why not spread more around, right?
Well, like I said, copy paste. It takes nothing. Once you've already written it, the hard part's done.
Plus, it seems in today's world, it's so much easier to criticize than actually give praise.
Yeah.
Mm.
So
everybody's a troll.
It's much easier to go, well, that book was dumb, and toss it away, And then go tell everybody why it was dumb versus, well, this was a nice book, and then just, you know, put it down instead of go tell people it was a really good book.
Well, that's exactly it. So,
anybody got anything else? I think we've talked
about it. Isaiah. If I could just do a mini wrap up myself, I hope that this episode has been helpful to you guys. If not, hey, submit an email and review us. Tell us what you think we should improve on to help you guys out. Help
us. Don't give us a summary of the episode.
That would take forever.
Well, yeah, don't give us a summary of the episode. Trust me. I know I've heard it enough when I edit them, and I'm trying to force you. And I know I make you guys try to listen to them before as well. So yeah. We've already heard ourselves two or three times. Yeah. So we don't need a summary.
Nope.
Plus, I recorded. I still keep the notes, but that's...
But we would love a review from you.
Especially if you think we can be improved on helping you guys.
Yep.
We want it, again, like we've said before, we want this almost to be more of a community thing. The feedback you guys give us makes it so we can improve. And then if we can improve, hopefully we can help everyone else improve. So.
And if you have an opinion about something that we mentioned on the podcast, like five-starring your own book, or my constructive criticism sub, then by all means... Right in. We love to hear from you guys.
Tweet us.
Tweet us. FA us. We have... Yeah. We're everywhere.
We're not on Facebook.
We're not on Facebook.
Fuck Facebook.
Or YouTube.
Or YouTube.
No, YouTube is for other people.
Yeah.
You don't want to see us. If you want to see us, by the way, we will be at Rainforest this year. All four of us are confirmed.
Rainforest so, 2013.
Rainforest.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing 8 panels.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm going to be running around like a psycho.
I'm going to try out for the writing competition.
Is that before or after you get caffeine?
She doesn't need caffeine.
I don't need caffeine. This is me normally.
We're caffeine. Our own drug.
Yes, I am a drug. Lick me.
No. When...
Sorry, depends on how much psycho you want to see her as.
That's true. Now, they do have the Mountain Dews.
Last podcast, we did ask, we are thinking of doing a genre cast. Hopefully we can do it next. However, we do need people to write in what genre they would like us to talk about. The one that we get the most votes for will do. Even if it's just one vote.
Yeah, you could be that one vote, and then basically the whole episode is for you. Don't you feel special?
You can make the difference.
Do you want us
what
to
do
talk-
we do if there's a tie and only two people go in? We're screwed.
Do you want us to talk about science fiction? What about erotica? High fantasy.
Punked
themes. Punked themes.
Westerns. Cthulhu.
Political science.
No.
Technical writing.
I still don't believe it's a science. Economics is not a science. It never will be.
Hopefully no one picks comedy, because we'll be screwed.
Comedy is a very, very hard genre to do in just about anything.
It requires a very specific skill set.
Plus, you're going after a very specific audience.
And everyone's got their own person.
Action. Western.
I already said Western.
Western.
Look up all those tags on those Amazon books you read and see what they are and what you'd like to... Regardless, please send us feedback on anything. If you...
You might get anything. Your name mentioned.
Ooh.
Or not.
Or not.
I don't know.
On our prestigious podcast.
We've already had one review. Thank you very much for that, listener.
You know who you are.
We love you.
I like how we're like, be mentioned on our podcast. Exactly. Thank you, anonymous reviewer.
Well, we said maybe.
Yeah, we did say maybe.
We'll mention names or people be like, say my name, bitch.
Anyway.
So, you can find us. On Twitter, @FangsAndFonts. As well, we're on Fur Affinity. Our user page is FangsAndFonts.
By the way, that's the actual and, not the symbol.
True. Yeah, I never thought about that. Again, if they found this podcast, they should know how it's spelled. also, you can email us at fangsandfonts@gmail.com. The Ferret is working on a website. Hopefully we have it soon, and once that's up, we'll be able to push to iTunes, which will be fantastic.
It is currently a placeholder. Get off my back.
Hey, that works.
By which I mean I'm being extremely lazy.
Yes.
Whiskey bottle.
And thanks, Isaiah, for coming on the show. Where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at FurReview, that's F-U-R Review, or on YouTube at FurReview, and I'm also on Fur Affinity as Don46.
Numbers.
Don 46.
Okay, no, what do you mean by Don?
I created that username when I was 12. Don't judge me.
D-O-N 46.
Like Donatello, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Well, he did He did say he was 12 when he made the name.
One of us paid attention!
Awesome. Yeah, please, go check out his reviews. Hopefully we're going to see a new one soon.
Hopefully soon, yes.
And I also hear you have a project with Kadath coming up sometime, maybe?
Oh, yeah, but unfortunately I can't say anything on that yet, but it should be coming out soon, and it will be very exciting, and I hope you guys enjoy it.
If you ever need a guest.
You're such a tease.
I'm looking forward to that.
You have four people here already. Whatever yeah. It is. Anyway.
And random voice in the background.
That can count as a fifth person.
Those random ferrets.
Yeah, jeez.
They came into the motorcycle hole in the wall.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you,
Isaiah, so for coming on to the show.
No.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yay! Why are we applauding on our own?
I'm applauding you.
Because we're giving ourselves a five-star review.
That was the
five-star review. High five.
High five! Yay!
High five to the screen.
Don't high five the TV.
And that, I
and
guess,
that's it. I'm Ocean.
I'm Yan.
I'm Voice.
I'm Roland.
I'm not a real and, boy.
Wow. And I'm Isaiah.
Thanks for listening in, guys. We'll see you next time. Hopefully all your reviews are 5 stars. Cause, I don't know. Anybody else got a better corny, witty thing?
Goody.
Yeah, we'll just end it there. So long.
Bye.